And I like I said, I like history. We celebrate the 4th of July was the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And that was independence from England. You know, we were like a colony of England, and yet, you know, the government was being run from there and not here, and you know, it caused a lot of problems. And you know, but the Declaration of Independence didn't give us independence. There was 7 more years of war. The war lasted 7 years after that, so the independence had to be fought for. They just declared that we were going to be independent. And there'd already been some skirmishes leading up to that. There'd already been some things take place. In December 16, 1773, was the Boston Tea Party. That's in history, in the history books. And the merchants were unhappy because they were being taxed. They had taxation without representation. In other words, they didn't have anybody representing them over in England, and they were being taxed for the tea that, you know, what they had to buy. They dumped 342 chests of East India Company tea into the Boston Harbor. It was about 92,000 pounds of tea to protest that lack of representation in England. They didn't really like the tea. You know what kind of tea they really wanted? Liberty. Liberty. There's more where that came from. Liberty. That's what they really wanted. And so there was unrest already leading up. In April 19th in 1775, the Battle of Lexington and Concord. That's where the famous shot heard round the world that Andy Griffith so eloquently explained to Barney and the Mayberry Minutemen on Andy Griffith, if you watch that. And so, but you know, that was a shot, and I think that was where the first person killed, you know, in what was going to be the fight, you know, for the revolution and the fight for our independence. In the fall of 1775 and going on into 1776, the Battle of Quebec, we had troops that went up into Quebec, Canada, but we didn't fare too well up there. And then June 28, 1776, 6 days before the signing of the Declaration of Independence, was the Battle of Sullivan Island in Charleston, South Carolina. And that was the first decisive victory for America, the American troops. And just 6 days, 6 days later, they signed the Declaration of Independence. And so, you know, there was, we talk about freedom, but there wasn't freedom yet. The freedom had to be fought for by this country. We could have lost. We could have lost and we wouldn't have been free. And so we think about that. You know, the definition of freedom today, it's kind of a convoluted thing. It's skewed all around what people think. Different people have different beliefs, what that means. There's an idealistic picture of freedom. People think that we're going to be free from everything, you know, responsibilities, free from, you know, any obligations, you know, those type things. And so, you know, we look today, look at the land that we're living in today. We've got, you know, the socialist or it's really communism. Socialism is communism with a bow tie on, is really what it boils down to. It's the same thing. Who would have thought in my day that there would ever be anybody that claimed to be a socialist or a communist to be elected to any office in our nation? I mean, but this is what we're, so we see, and that's going to be an attack on freedom, by the way. That is an attack on that. So what? But their ploy is, oh hey, look, free rent, free you know, free groceries, free. We even saw it. We saw a little taste of it a little early. You know, debt forgiveness, student loan debt forgiveness. It's not debt forgiveness. It was never debt forgiveness. It was debt responsibility being placed on somebody else that didn't go to college, you know, or a lot of people that didn't go. So there's nothing really free. You can't have, somebody's paying. There's somebody got to pay the price. The tuition can't be forgiven. That means the teachers are going to work for nothing. The university is going to run a whole university, all the utilities of a whole university going to run for nothing and not get any money to pay for, you know, it's an ideal. It's an ideal. Oh, everything will be. No, no, no. Somebody's going to pay. And if you get it free today, guess what? You're going to be paying. And if you get a student loan forgiven today, when you get your job and you're out working, you're going to be paying for somebody else's student loan. So what difference? Pay for your own, you know, thing. Or, you know, don't go to college, but whatever you want to do. But these are not a reality. And so there, some believe, like I say, free from responsibility. But that's not a reality. We all have responsibilities, no matter what we do. And then free, just do whatever you want to do. Well, we have a certain freedom to do what we want to do as long as it doesn't infringe upon somebody else's freedom. So we're limited by that. I like this definition. We're not free to do as we want to do. We're free to do as we ought to do. That's the best definition of that kind of freedom. You know, many of the colonists, they wanted freedom of religion, not from it. They wanted the freedom of it. They wanted to be a Church of England said, okay, it's just like we said, everybody got to be independent Baptist. You know, they were saying everybody had to go to the Church of England, and a lot of them didn't want to do that. And so, you know, they wanted the freedom of religion, not from it. But in this land, listen, you can have freedom of religion. You don't have to believe in God to live in this land. You don't have to, although a lot of people that don't is causing us a lot of grief. Right here, it's our, you know, our church responsibility there. You know, a lot of the soldiers and a lot of people that came to this country, they wanted land. That's a good thing to have. Man, they're not making that anymore. I like, you know, land is good to have. I would like, somebody said, what would you do if you got like several, you know, I would buy a lot of land. I would have some land. I think that's a good investment. But anyway, but a lot of them, so what happened was we didn't have a draft. They didn't have a draft. Now, states had some conscription for militias, but the nationally they didn't. But they offered a lot of the soldiers, one of the things, they offered them land. So a lot of soldiers said, hey, I'm going to go fight because I'm, and really they were talking about literally fighting for the land. They wanted to go, they were offered for pay, you know, they would be offered land, have their own land. And so a lot of them did that. I remember, you know, people... But, you know, like I said, in order to get the land, you had to join the military. Well, how much freedom do you have in the military? Not a lot, you know. You don't have that, right? You go in the military. Remember, Pastor Frink was the pastor here at this church before myself. And he told us one night, he said, yeah, I was sick and tired of my parents telling me what to do. I'll show them I joined the Army. They tell you what to do, when to sit down, when to stand up, when to eat. I mean, everything. And so, but, you know, that's... But that's the reality. That kind of freedom is an idealistic thing. And we always have responsibilities, obligations those times. Those men that signed the Declaration of Independence, when they signed it, it was a radical move. And it required courage. It required sacrifice. Many of those signers of the Declaration of Independence lost everything during the war. They lost their farms, their families. They lost their houses. That a lot of them were burned. To the ground. I mean, England knew who the signers were. A lot of them lost their lives as well because of that. So it required a certain amount of determination to do this. We know biblically, John 8:36, Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You know, that there's another freedom. He said the Son shall make you free. Not set you free, but make you free. And this is along the line, you know, this we're called to a radical dependence on God. These forefathers, I'm going to show you something in a minute to prove this out, depended on Jesus Christ. Man, most of those signers were born again believers in Christ. And there's foundational things. And so our nation was started this way. Now, they didn't even teach what I'm going to tell you, show you here in a minute in school. They didn't teach this. But I was looking around and I saw this video, and Lowell's familiar with Charlie Kirk. I don't know what you think about Charlie Kirk or not. Very smart man. He's going to give you a little history lesson. Somebody that's trying to say that God didn't have any foundation in America. I want you to watch this. He could say it better. I could have said everything he said, but it would sound better if he said it. And give you a little lesson. There's a couple things. I mentioned one of them to Paul. He said, yeah, you know, I wasn't aware of that, but... He'll give you a little video clip here of this just a minute. Really, it's not much of a video, but listen to what he has to say, and then I'll preach you the message here.
This, I think, is one of the most impressive answers to a question regarding the Christian founding of the nation that I think I've ever seen. In fact, I know that I've ever seen.
Our country was founded on common law because the Declaration only refers to God four times, and the Constitution doesn't refer to God at all, and it only articulates the structure of government.
So first of all, remember that we were a collection of states and colonies, and you need to read the state constitutions before anything else. 9 out of 13 of the original states required you to be a Bible-believing Christian to serve in government at the time of the founding. All 13 out of 13 required a declaration of faith. 9 out of 13 required you to be a Protestant, except Maryland, which was Catholic, which still required a declaration of faith. Almost every single one of the original state constitutions, Pennsylvania included, they had, I profess Lord and Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior in the original state constitutions. You remember, we're a collection of states before that. Secondly, 55 out of 56 of the original signers of the declaration were Bible-believing, church-attending Christians. So common law is inherited from Blackstone, who was Christian. A common law is an outgrowth of the scriptures. So let's go to three principles of common law: presumption of innocence, due process, and jury of your peers. All three are biblical principles, wrapped into the ultimate biblical principle that you shall not favor justice if you are rich or poor, which is in Leviticus 19, right before the most famous part of Leviticus 19, which is that you should love your neighbor as yourself. But before that is that in the administration of justice, you shall not favor the rich or the poor, which is the idea of blind justice. We get that in the West, which is incorporated also in the New Testament ideal. Neither slave nor Greek nor Jew, you're all one in Jesus Christ, which we get the idea of human equality. These are all biblical ideas. They're not Enlightenment ideas, which is they kind of get conflated at the time. But more importantly than that, they say that God was only mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence. Well, that's a big deal, okay? Laws of nature and nature's God. The last paragraph of the Declaration reads as a prayer. It says, we appeal to the supreme judge of the universe. Who's the judge of the universe? Jesus Christ, as it says in Revelation, that Jesus will judge the earth on his throne. So in the Declaration, they were praying to Christ our Lord as a prayer very specifically. Thirdly, as I said on the stage yesterday, Deuteronomy was by far the most quoted book, religious or non-religious, in the time of the founding when they were putting together the Constitution. More than John Locke, more than Montesquieu, more than Blackstone. So the book of Deuteronomy, which talked about laws, customs, traditions, it was Moses' farewell address as he's, you know, about to say goodbye, say, hey, good luck in Canaan, guys. Here's how you should set up your form of government. But finally, and most importantly, let's look at actually what the founders said. John Adams famously said the Constitution was only written for a moral and religious people. It was wholly inadequate for the people of any other. The body politic of America was so Christian and was so Protestant that our form and structure of government was built for the people that believed in Christ our Lord. One of the reasons we're living through a constitutional crisis is that we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. So you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population.
This, I think, is one of the most impressive...
There you go. And I'm going to refer to some of that as we go along, but... You know, a lot of things you didn't know, man, they were required to be a born-again believer in the colonies to be, you know, this was required. You imagine that today? Wouldn't that be great? Oh, well, I want to run for president of the United States. Well, let me ask you this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? No, well, you're out. That would eliminate all the socialists and communists right off the bat. God could bless that like nobody's business, huh? God could bless it. But anyway. I got in Psalm 33:12. The Bible says, it's a great 4th of July text, I suppose. Blessed is the nation whose God is Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There's no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength, and horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for those forefathers that put their faith and trust in you. And they prayed as they got together the Constitution. And they prayed as they got together the Declaration of Independence. They put their trust in you and looked to your leading. And so we're thankful for the foundation this country was built on, Lord. And we need your help now. Our freedoms and our nation is under attack, and we know we can trust you. And I pray you speak to each heart that's here, Lord. We also understand the freedom that we have in Christ, that you've set us free from so many things, the power of sin, the penalty of sin, the guilt of sin. We're thankful for that. I pray if there's one here today that hasn't trusted you as their Savior, today will be that day before it is eternally too late, and one day it will be eternally too late. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so number one point, the foundation of freedom. It says in verse 12 that blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, I like the structure of that sentence. It says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, is the Lord. I think that word Lord, there's Yahweh, if I'm not mistaken. I might be, but I don't think I am. But that means, because we know that there's many gods. I mean, there's false gods. There's the God of wealth, power, fame, press. You know, there's all kind of gods out there. But he said, whose God is the Lord. And, you know, that's key. And, you know, when we think about things in life, when those people that came over and founded this country, and they came over, there was opportunity. They were looking for an opportunity. And, you know, I still think a lot of people that come to this nation, I know there's a lot of thugs and criminals and things, but there's people that are looking for an opportunity. Man, you got an opportunity here to operate and live your life. And why do we want to do those things? Well, bottom line is, when you boil everything down far enough, what do we really want? We want to be happy, right? We want to be happy. I think happiness, and I think you can't have happiness without contentment. And a lot of times we're trying to be happy, but we're not content because we're looking in the wrong place for the happiness, and therefore we're not content because God made you that way. And so there, we want to be happy. And so they want to come over. They weren't happy where they were, and they wanted it. And I think, you know, I point this out. I think most of the people that come to this country, they don't come to America because we're socialists. They come to America because we're capitalists. They think, hey, I can go over there and make money as much effort as I put. I work. I can make some, I can do some things. I mean, you've got, you know, the sky's the limit on what you want to do. And they and we, I think they want to be blessed when we think about that, whether they define blessedness the same way you and I would or not. Without God, obviously they can't. And, you know, I was watching the World Cup stuff, a little bit of it. I don't follow soccer. I call it soccer, football. I watched a little bit of it. USA played, you know, got in the spirit. But they've been interviewing, like, people from all these other lands that have come. This one guy was on TV, and he said, I owe America an apology because I've been listening to the media in my country bad-mouthing America. He said, man, this is great. He said, this is great. These people are happy. And there was this one guy, he was an older guy from England, and I got in at the end of the conversation. He was being interviewed, and I'm not sure he was in America or he was in England, but he said this. He said, now, I don't, you know, I'm not trying to push politics or promote it. I'm just telling you what the man said. This man said, we need a Donald Trump. This is in England. He said, we need a Donald Trump. He said, man, somebody like him. He said, America is they're glad, blessed to have him leading the country. He said, I wish we had somebody like that. Lead our country. England needs it. England's under attack like we are. Muslims and communism. It's going after England. That's going after England. So this is nothing new. They got the same thing. So here's what people looking from. But I was happy to see people coming, and they think, man, they thought this America is great. It's a great place. It is. It's got problems, but it's great. Now, you know, the foundation of America. We think about that. Charlie Kirk pointed this out because, like I say, secular school, even in my day, wouldn't teach that. Couldn't probably. But the framework for our form of government is based on the Word of God. This is what they were using for the laws. You know, thou shalt not murder. You know, thou shalt not steal. I mean, this was the foundation of our government. And he pointed out that most of the signees of the Declaration were born-again believers. Man, this is something. You know what? You've got to realize when you read these things, these documents, if you've ever taken time to read them, that Christianity was so ingrained in these people's minds that the thought that people wouldn't be Christian or atheist was just, it didn't cross their mind. So a lot of what they wrote was because it was implied that you would be a Christian. Like you said, and Charlie Kirk pointed out, the reason that we're having a constitutional crisis is because of we're a non-Christian nation. I'll show you. I'm talking about that in a second. These guys knew about the true freedom, though, that's found in Christ. They knew what really meant to be, that there is still responsibilities and obligations for that. You know, George Washington, if you ever read anything in the life of George Washington, the first president of the United States, man, that was a praying man right there. I mean, George Washington, boy, he was on a knee every day. He was praying to God. He got things done. You ever read about what was going on at Valley Forge until he prayed? And that's what got him through. They were about to freeze to death and starve to death in Valley Forge during the Revolutionary War. First president was a praying man. God bless the nation. But then we see the second thing, the second point, is the failure of vanity. Look what it says in verse 13, It says, the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. And he goes on down in verse 16. He says, there's no king saved by the multitude of a host, a mighty man not delivered. And so vanity, the definition of vanity, biblical definition of it, and what I mean by vanity is everything that's under the sun that's not of God. That's the way Solomon defined it. Vanity. Everything that doesn't have anything to do with God is just vain, because it's going to come to nothing. It's going to amount to nothing apart from God. And the Bible tells us there that God is looking down from heaven. God is looking at man. He's looking at you. He's looking at your heart. He sees right into your heart, your thoughts, your motives. He looks at a nation, looks nationally. And I want to say this. And I one time I was doing a 4th of July thing. I had people mad at me after the thing was all over with. I love my country. I do. I'm in the military veteran. I was in the Navy. I was overseas. I lived in Sicily for a year and a half on an active volcano. Takes a little bit of faith. Lived on Mount Etna. It's in the news all the time now. It erupts every time you turn around. And it did while we were there some. But, you know, I lived overseas. I know what it's like to be overseas. And boy, you really come back and you appreciate it. Man, I was so, I remember me and my buddy Chili, y'all met Chili, came. We were in the service together. He sent me a picture of him. He looked like he was about to hold up a bank. I asked, he wasn't, but I was kidding with him. But he sent me some stuff for 4th of July last night. We went in and we flew back when we were coming back to the States from being over there a year and a half. We flew back together. And man, that thing when we landed in Jacksonville, Florida, man, and that everything, we looked at the neighborhoods all lit up. We hadn't seen that overseas. And then we got in a cab and we were riding to the other airport from the military airport, and the smoothness of the roads. Now around here y'all know nothing about it, but I mean but the smoothness of the roads and the street lights, and I was like a kid. I'm looking at the billboard sign, the McDonald's advertisement, you know, lit up. The road was, it was just like, oh, man, we got out. You're talking about freedom, man. We got off that, I got out of that cab at the airport in Jacksonville. It was like, oh, man, I was ready to kiss the ground. I know why people kiss the ground when we hit. We were so happy about that to get back. So I know what it's like. But some people got mad at me one time as I was talking about, and I brought up some of the failures and faults of our country. And they took it, they couldn't separate the nation from the military. I have no problem with the military. It has nothing to do with the military. I'm talking about the political scene, the social scene that we see in America today, not the military. It has nothing to do with that. But there's a lot of in this country that I am not proud of. I was just proud of that Navy ship. When you're at sea on a United States Navy ship, the American flag is flying off the stern, and that flag does not dip for any other nation. And let me tell you something, every other nation in the world, when they pass us, they dip their flag down and up one time. Bet you didn't know that. I was proud of that. Man, I was chest puffed out. America. America was a lot greater, I think, when I was a kid than it is now. Amen. I think America was a lot greater even farther back than before that. We got to go back some time. But listen, there's a lot of things I'm just not proud of as a Christian and as an American. We just got done with Pride Month. It had nothing to do with American pride. And thank God it's over with. Amen. There is some kicking back on that, some I tell you what, a lot of people don't like the Dallas Cowboys. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. There are a lot, even a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans don't like Jerry Jones. I like him. Jerry Jones said, we ain't having no Pride Month on the Dallas Cowboy. And there's Cowboy haters that said, yeah, way to go, Jerry. Thank God for that. We went to see the Orioles. My wife and I, I like the Orioles, but they always have a thing on Pride Night. Fortunately, Kyle didn't get us tickets for that night. But they did have a bee painted on the field with the rain. But I'm just saying, I never in my early lifetime, we didn't ever thought we had anything like that. I never saw that when I was a kid. I'm not proud that we have a Pride Night. I'm not. God burned Sodom and Gomorrah slam up. Burned it up for that. I'm not proud of that. Am I going to give up on my country? No. I pray for my country every day. Do I want to live anywhere else? No, I don't. I'm going to fight for what's right. I'm not proud of same-sex marriage. God burned Sodom and Gomorrah for that. I don't even know if they got abortion. The number one killer in the world today is not a disease. It's abortion. The number one cause of death in the world today is abortion. And we've legalized it, and people don't know any better. And transgender sports, we got a battle. There is a few people with common sense who are trying to get, but there's people that against, they want to have girls playing in the boys' sports and stuff like that. Socialism, like I said, who'd have thought? I even thought, ain't no way in the world they're going to elect a socialist. Shows you what I know. Total lack of common sense. Have you ever seen a bigger group of people in the world today that don't have any common sense about, that's why we have all these other things? They don't have that. I'm not proud of that. I can't. And it's even, I almost feel hypocritical to ask God, would you bless this country? Now, I know most of you guys, maybe all of us here, we don't agree with any of that stuff. But how are we going to ask God to bless the nation when our nation approves of it? And shame on us, too. We got to take a little blame. Let me take a blame. Because I asked, I did a little survey in here one time. How many of you have ever contacted a congressman or a legislator? Cricket time. Not very many. And you know what? I have seen this work. People say, well, it won't do any good. Well, it don't do any good not to. But I have seen it work. And I know for a fact from an inside man in Congress that said, listen, you wouldn't believe that sometimes the vote has been swayed by the amount of calls that came in saying, hey, vote no, vote no, vote no. Because above all else, them congressmen, they like their job. And if a bunch of people are against something, they'll go, even if they think otherwise, they'll vote that way. That's what they're supposed to do, by the way. But anyway, it'll work. It works if you work it, but we don't work it. We just sit around, whine, and complain a lot of times. We have to work it. Now, like I said, Charlie Kirk mentioned, and he hit the nail on the head when he said, listen, you know, we're not a Christian nation. We would like to think that we are, but we're not. We're a minority. Christians are a minority in this country. We were founded as a Christian nation. We were founded on Christ, but we can't honestly say this. I mean, you can't pass those kind of laws and claim that you're a Christian nation. Even though maybe you and I and all of us in here say, hey, we not agree with that. It's still on the books, right? It's still on the books. God always has his remnant. God's got his people. I understand that. So I would say that, no. I mean, here we were. They were filing lawsuits to get in God We Trust off the money 20 years ago. That's a Christian nation? They didn't do it, but they won't cease. They'll get it off. Huh? One nation under God, they want to take it out of the pledge, and probably should. As far as the reality is, I'm glad they don't, haven't, but it'll still get under attack, one nation under God. And Charlie Kirk said, this is why we're going through a constitutional crisis. Because we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they are not compatible. And this is why, and you see a constitutional battle in courts. It's why it gets to the Supreme Court. So it falls back on that. And that's why a lot of people aren't happy. And listen, that Supreme Court is this close to being the other way. One person away. We're that close. And so verse 13 and 14, look, God, he said, the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth the sons of men. He sees that. From the place of his habitation, he look upon all the inhabitants of the earth. Well, what does he see when he looks down here? And I mean, and I could preach this in any nation. This message would fly for their history as well, other than the history part of it, it wouldn't apply. But the facts of this is, you know, when I was a kid, and I mean, I hadn't been overseas or anything, but I thought we were just the greatest nation in the world, for the wrong reasons, though. And a lot of people, you know what I thought? I thought we were just smarter than everybody else in the world. I thought we were better looking than all the other nations in the world. I thought we had the greatest military, and we probably did have. And we might have it now. Huh? But listen, man, there's some other nations out there that would be something to be reckoned with by their sheer size. But I still would put my chips in with ours. I still believe that. But we thought all those things, the wealthiest nation in the world. Well, per capita, we're not the wealthiest nation in the world. You got to go to one of the Arab, Qatar, or one of those countries over there. Everybody's a millionaire, but per capita, they don't have as many people. But our economy's good. And that's why people come, that's why a lot of people want to come to this nation, because their economy is no good. And so I thought all these things, but, you know, we're not smarter. We're humans like everybody else. You know, we're just, God sees our hearts. God made our hearts. Now, a lot of people believe that we're the greatest nation for the wrong reason today. David wrote in verses 16 and 17, look what he said in 16 and 17. He said, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host, so it don't matter how big your army is. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Of course, in those days, a horse was one of the greatest military vehicles that there was. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. See, if we just put our faith in the size of our military and not in God. God took out bigger nations than us. He took Egypt out, one of the greatest powers in the world. Took Babylon out, one of the greatest powers in the world. You know, and so it's not in our strength. America's structure, our structure and our very foundation right now, with this socialism business, our foundation is under attack. And you know the deal, buddy. You know what? You know, you get the foundation. You know, boxers had an old adage, huh? Go to the body and the head will fall. And this, if we get the foundation collapses, and the basis of our foundation is God, if our faith in Him, if that's taken away, I mean, we've already got what? We took prayer out of school in my lifetime. Roy Moore was a judge in Georgia that was sued because he had the Ten Commandments on the court. I've been there for years. Up on the courthouse wall, went sued. I think it was Ten Commandments he had there, right? Yeah, and take them down. Had a lawsuit because an atheist out in San Diego bought a house across from where there was a World War I monument, which was a big giant cross, and he didn't like that cross, and he tried to sue. There was a judge back then, this was 20, 30 years ago, he had enough common sense to say, well, why'd you buy a house across from the cross if you didn't want to look at a cross every day? Threw it out of court, man, threw it out. But, I mean, that just shows you, you know, what's going on. And there's a million, if you follow David Gibbs, there's attacks on our freedom every single day, every single week. There's something going on. So we've got our nation and our foundation is under attack by liberals, by communists, by Islam. Big ones. And atheists. You know, the ungodly will attack it too. And so our way of life, really, I mean, right now, you know, we sometimes got blinders on in life. Our way of life is severely threatened. It is, because I've already seen two or three times and I thought, there's no way that this is going to happen or this is going to pass. And it did. And, you know, we keep thinking that, man, we got to get out of here and just, you know, get people to Christ, get people saved. Man, this is the hope of our nation right here. We need to get back to that. get back to faith in Jesus Christ. This is our faith, man. Y'all better do some praying. I'm just saying. We always think everything's in the future. Everything's in the future. I did a little test here. How many of you think the Lord's coming back? Everybody throw their hand up. How many of you think he's coming back today? Huh? You think he's coming back today? One person. You're in the minority. Huh? He could come back today. But that's see our mindset. So we always think, oh yeah, it's bad. I hope this doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. But we keep going into the future. Huh? We keep going into the future and it's going to happen. So we need to get back to faith. Now the third point is faithfulness, the faithfulness of God. Verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. How about that? Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, that's when we don't get what we do deserve. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. We know God is faithful. We know he has his people in the land. There's a remnant. The church is here, right? What are we doing? We sitting on our hands a lot of times and sitting on our feet and not getting out and telling people about the Lord, you know, leading people to Christ. It's up to, we have to defend our country another way. I mean, everything being even, we're not going to be defeated from the outside in. Rome was one of the greatest nations in the world history. It collapsed. We're on 250 years in America. Rome existed 500, twice as long as this nation, down the drain. What happened to it? No nation defeated it from the outside. It corrupted on the inside and fell apart morally. Fell apart morally, which led to a social collapse. And there it goes. And that's what's happening to America. We're pretty stout right now from the outside in. That's how a church falls apart, really. Churches don't usually fall apart from an outward attack. Churches fall apart when it gets corrupt on the inside. Huh? And that's when they go down the drain. And so this is what's going on now. So we have to defend this nation with this, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have to take this out. Get them people saved that don't know. They don't know. And whose responsibility is it? Government's not going to do it. School not going to do it. You and me. Us, the Christians, man. Get that book. Read that book. Pray. Get God in you. and know Scripture. Know enough Scripture to lead somebody to Christ at least. And show them that they're lost. The Bible says the truth shall set you free. This truth right here. And it's an ironic twist. People want to be free to do as they want. Just, you know, you used to think, John Lennon, he wrote a song, Imagine, one of the Beatles back. Imagine everyone living for today. Oh, it sounded neat. You know what the world would be like if everybody's living for today? Chaos. Be a whole lot like it is right now. Huh? Oh, we'd be ruthless. I mean, we just go grab what we want, kill who we want, take what we want. It'd be World War III right in our own land if everybody was living for today. The people that want to be set free to do as they want end up in sin, and then the sin puts them in bondage. Addictions, vices, spiritual or mental, bound by guilt to conscience. You can't do a thing. That conscience, I don't care what you do. And that's why, listen, I'll go back to one of the little movements that's going on in the world that we just celebrated. They're not satisfied with same-sex marriage being passed. They're not satisfied with those things. Why? Because their conscience keeps telling them it's wrong. Even though the world is approving it, there's something inside eating and they want more and more. We got to have a parade. We got to have a month. We got to have a flag. We got to have all this because their conscience is killing them. You'll never get past that. All those things, sin is a joy robber. What did I say at the beginning? What does man really want? Basically, when you get down far enough, wants to be happy. But sin robs you from joy. Huh? And so now you don't have freedom. Here's the ironic thing. I'm almost done. Hang with me. True freedom is achieved by surrender. By surrender into Christ. We're doing a Wednesday night Bible study. We went through Ezekiel and now we're in Daniel. I encourage you to come on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. There we're looking at Daniel. But Israel, they wanted to be free to do their own thing. They ended up under the chastening hand of God. And at one time, Jeremiah came to Zedekiah. He was a king of Judah. And this is what he told him. Now, God was using Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian, to chasten Israel and Judah. So this was his will. And so there was, you know, they had walled cities and they could fight or they could surrender. Those were two choices. Jeremiah came to Zedekiah, king, and this is what he said. If you want to live, when Nebuchadnezzar and Babylonians come, surrender. If you surrender, you'll live. But he tells them, he said, if you fight, you're going to die by the sword, by famine, and by disease. That's it. Huh? And it's the same way. Listen, you can fight. You fight God all you want to. You're going to die. But you're going to die anyway. You're going to die. But if you want to live, if you want to have eternal life, you need to surrender. And look what he said. See, I read it to you. I'll read it to you again. He said there in verse, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon him that fear him, that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, our shield, for our heart shall rejoice. There it is, happiness. In him, because we have trusted in his holy name, let thy mercy, that's the undeserved, when we don't get what we do deserve. O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. You got to surrender to Christ, because that old conscience, even if you had all the freedoms of the world, you wouldn't be free from it. And then we get freedom from the penalty and the power and the guilt of sin. And that's really true freedom in life. So it's a paradox. The paradox of freedom, surrender to be free. Just surrender to be free. And then we can claim verse 22, the last verse I just read you in the Bible, mercy. God doesn't give us what we deserve. Huh? Man, listen, we got a lot to be thankful for. And one of the greatest things that we can be thankful for, even today with the foundations of our nation under attack, we can still preach the gospel right now. Amen. You know, in Canada, there's parts of the Bible you can't preach. Part of what I preached, you couldn't preach. In Canada today, they're starting to limit that, so it's going to be worldwide. We have the freedom to have church. We have the freedom to preach the gospel. You have the freedom to be saved today. And it's a whole lot easier today than it'll be in the future. You have a freedom to be saved. Trust Christ and be saved, and then really be set free. So let's all stand with our heads bowed. We can still thank God for the nation that we have, and we can pray that God will help us to lead our nation back to what we had, what we were. And then, of course, if you're not saved, if you're not sure, you want to be set free in the spiritual sense, boy, we can trust Christ. Come forward today and be saved before it is too late. One day it will be. One day it will be. But we have a chance today, and we can thank God for that.
Thank you, Pastor. Our hymn of invitations, hymn number 270, Just As I Am.